Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here.
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Emails, idea@wretched.org. Text 877-282-2337. Go ahead, Jimmy. Bring it on. All of the negative comments from our Martin Luther King theology examination. Go ahead.
We've only got an hour.
We didn't get any.
No, we did not.
It's amazing. And I'm looking at the comments on the YouTube machine. I love Christian chat. I love it when Christians engage and it's godly. Even when you disagree with stuff, I just love seeing that. Please, we welcome critique. Please bring it. In this instance, we didn't see any from the Martin Luther. Virgil Walker from G3 joined us on Monday night. Zoink, Scoob. Yeah. On Monday night. And he laid out the essential theologies of Martin Luther King Jr., not the secondary and tertiary level stuff, but the primary theologies, the virgin birth, original sin, the divinity of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, you know, kind of the big stuff. And it is well documented that Martin Luther King Jr. was outside of orthodoxy on all of those theologies. And he's so beloved, I was kind of expecting, oh boy, batting the hatches. But the comments so gracious, even when you disagree, love it. Because I was so hesitant to open up comments on YouTube, and okay, once in a while, but overall, just thank you. Feel free to criticize, whatever, comments, conundrums, anything you want that's wretched to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
All right, we're going to start with a Lulu from Lisette. She texted in, Todd, my husband is Catholic, but I am not. We have two girls, and I've been attending a four-square church with them for a long time now. They seem to like it, but recently my husband decided to start taking them to his church so they can experience it. The girls do not want to go with him, so he told them that if they don't go with him, they can't go with me either. Mm. The girls then ask me to go to church with them, to his church. It's a Latin mass, by the way.
Wow.
I came up with the idea and asked my husband if we could go to church as a family on Sundays to his church and then go to mine after. I'm not sure if this was a good idea. Can you give me some advice?
This may or may not work, but I have perhaps an out-of-the-box solution. How's about you visit founders.org/church-search or use the search engine for a church at tms.edu or at Nine Marks Ministries. You find one close to you and say to your husband, okay, tell you what, instead of going to yours or mine, let's go to this Bible teaching church and see if we can find a new home where we're both happy. That could be really good because I agree with you. It is problematic for the kids and for you to be going to the Roman Catholic services. The good news is it probably won't do tons of oral damage because who understands a Latin mass? However, I would also say that your four-square church, I think you can find a more biblical home. And this might be a way for you to do that. So my encouragement wouldn't be either or, but another option. And you can find that at founders.org/church-search. tms.edu. You got to work a little harder there to find pastors around the country that are pastoring churches. Nine Marks Ministries is another good resource for finding churches that teach the Bible, which is exactly what you want the kids to know. Having said that, I might also encourage you, do your best without doing it in a way that's kind of trying to undermine your husband, but teach your kids as much gospel truth as you can. You got lots of opportunities during the day when you're driving around, you're doing stuff. Like I said, don't make it like you're being subversive, but you've got plenty of opportunities and you can explain to them, here's why mommy and daddy are having a difference of opinion. You go to that church, and even though you can't understand a word of it, what they're saying is we have to do all kinds of things to make ourselves right to be with God. That's called work righteousness, where our works gain God's favor. But I want to go to a church that just teaches the Bible and grace alone, faith alone, that all of your sins can be forgiven because of Jesus Christ. Then you do works, but you don't do works to get forgiven. You get works because you are forgiven. You do works because you are forgiven. That's the difference of opinion. And then keep reinforcing it with grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. You got anything else, Jimmy?
No, I think that's a really good solution because, you know, they've got to model unity to their children.
It's going to be tough.
And doing it in a third place instead of saying, we're choosing this over this or this over that, let's find something we can all go to.
Which I think, honestly, if you find a Bible teaching church, it will be better for everybody involved in this. Let this perhaps serve as a lesson if you're younger and you're thinking about compromising when it comes to marrying somebody. Young people that are thinking, they'll ask the question, well, we've got some differences in our theology. How far apart can we be? Well, I would say Protestant and Catholic would be apart. You just can't, because this is what's going to happen. Now, I also think that there are some secondary issues that just make it hard to get along. Are we going to go where they baptize babies or not? And you're going to have all kinds of marital strife over it. So do your best as you are going about the business of finding a spouse. Make sure you are as equally yoked as possible. Make sure that you're on the same page with, of course, the essentials. And Catholics and Protestants are not on the same page. But make sure that you're in alignment with spiritual gifts. Are you going to go to a church with your spouse where they speak in tongues and you don't? How long is that going to last before you blow your stack? And vice versa. So get these things worked out. And don't think this is, I don't know if you've been told this yet, if you're young. And believe me, I had the exact same propensity. Jimmy, I'm guessing you did too. This will resonate. That won't happen to me. If I marry somebody that we're kind of, you're like, we'll get it worked out. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. And then you go all goo-goo-eyed again and you don't see clearly, which is why, sorry to toss this one out too, please utilize the wisdom of your parents. Please utilize the wisdom of your local church and elders. Don't make these big life decisions without, it's a treasure chest of wisdom just sitting there for you. Tap into it. And remember, your brain isn't fully wired to your 25. Send stuff to idea@wretched.org or 877. Do you believe that, Jimmy? That your brain supposedly aren't like, okay, everything is pretty much set now, but it's not until you're 25?
Yeah, I do. I fully believe that.
Really?
Yeah, man. There were things that just didn't make sense to me until I was
35.
Probably. That's probably true.
Well, there are some things conceptually. Brain development, I think the easiest way to identify like what that looks like is math. That, you know, you're in seventh grade and algebra, knock, knock, it just bing, doesn't get in there. But you get a little bit, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I can download this stuff. This stuff is starting to make sense. Well, that's brain maturation. And the same thing is true with some big life decisions. You just need some years and you need some maturation. Now, having said that, Jimmy, I got to tell you, as of late, I have been so impressed with the number of younger people. We had three whippersnappers come into our church. They're now off to the mission field. I'm guessing 22, maybe something like that. Super mature. So, and we've got people in our church, these young people, man, if you're a young person and you're striving to be godly, can I just encourage you that you encourage us? You encourage so much. We had Bible study on Thursday night. And for this one, we divided the men and the women because it's two different studies. And we thought maybe then husband and wife would have something to talk about. What did you learn? Well, what did you learn? And there'd be a nice conversation. And as I'm sitting there before Mike started leading the class, in walks Cooper, 21 years old, dude. And his fiance walked into the women's Bible study. Man, it's cool to see that. And maybe it was hard for Cooper to go to Bible study. Maybe didn't feel like it, but he did because it's a good thing and it's a good thing for you. And you need to know that when you do those things, you show up to church, you volunteer, you go to the different events, you attend a Bible study, you encourage us more than you know. You really do because we see the Lord working in you. And you're advancing, you are accelerating past your peers. All that to say, press on. I don't think you need to wait to 25 to be godly and mature. This is Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to fortisplus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. FortisPlus.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barbell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What's taken my brain so long? This is Wretched Radio. If it's 25 when your brain finally fully matures, when's mine going to kick in? You know I'm over 40. When do I get to feel the fruit of a brain that's better wired? Over. Not lying.
That's not a lie.
Not lying. Please send whatever you want to idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Anonymous. Todd, is it okay for a pastor to have a full-time job in addition to his ministry? I know a couple married by a pastor that was unavailable to give them premarital counseling due to his work schedule.
Sure.
They had to find material on their own. How serious is this?
Yeah, well, let me just say this, that you if you wish to ask your pastor to do your premarital counseling, cool. But I think you can ask any elder furthermore. I think you can even ask any mature couple to walk you through that. I don't think the default automatically needs to be with your pastor, whether you call it senior pastor, preaching, teaching pastor. Doesn't have to be that guy, because it's not about the office. It's about the maturity and the wisdom. So having said that, that would be, I think, an example of the cost of a pastor who's bivocational. Now, look, I think about half of pastors now have two gigs going on, because a lot of churches, they can't afford a full-time salary. So I think a pastor needs to do what a pastor needs to do, but I think the congregation needs to be understanding he's not going to be able to do as much as he could if he were full-time. And that might motivate and incent the congregation to do what they can do to support the fellow. There's nothing wrong with a pastor working two jobs, but there's got to be limitations, because it's not just marital counseling. It's the other issues in the church. It's the business of the church. And here's the biggie, the preparation of the sermon for the church. This guy is burning it at both. He's got a full-time job and he's pastoring. I can tell you that, and even then, if his kids have flown the coop and they're empty nesters, okay, then the kids aren't paying a price, but his spouse is, because it takes a long time to put together a sermon. It really, if you're going to do it without AI or plagiarizing or buying a sermon in a box online, it just takes time. And the guy just, it's going to come from somewhere, and it's going to come from his marriage. So if you have a bivocational pastor, full-time, part-time, whatever the percentage is, be grateful to him. Lower your expectations for his bandwidth and what you expect him to do. You got to do it. And be encouraging his spouse, thanking her for her sacrifice. Thank her for that. Because bivocational preaching and teaching, that is a hard gig. Yep, Paul did it. Yep, but he said he didn't have to. Didn't have, in fact, it would be better if he didn't, but he didn't want to be seen as a money grubber. He didn't want to be looking like the other false teachers who come to town simply to cash in. So he worked full time to support himself. But I don't think that's the ideal. I think it's fine. And I think it's great. And pastor, if you're doing it, I'm telling you, and I don't mean this in a Southern snarky way, bless your heart, because it's a hard road that you are going down. So thank you for that. And we would prefer that you could be full-time in ministry and being paid where the pastor doesn't have to sweat it. You don't want your pastor straining over finances. You do not want that. You want him straining over the word. You want him smelling like the sheep. And if that guy, if he's having to pick up a side hustle and he's running around town doing deliveries with Amazon, whatever it is that he's having to do, he could spend those energies and time elsewhere. Either in his marriage, which is good, family, good, and church, very good. idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
And here is a text from JB. Todd, what do you think about secondary separation? The Bible is clear that we are to separate ourselves from false teachers, but what about a teacher who appears to have good theology, but is loosely associated with a false teacher?
Yeah, degrees of separation.
Right.
Oh, boy. If you go to the YouTube machine and look for degrees of separation, the last time we published something on this, it was with Phil Johnson. We were at the G3 conference and we were working through this. And here's the bottom line. Determining with whom you part is not easy because you can do it too soon. You can do it too late. And it's like, well, what if this happens? Well, if that happened, then this is the, and, but if, what if this happens when that happened? Well, then it's the, and what if this guy in the middle that he's connected to isn't as bad, but he's connected, degrees of separation. So for instance, I know Jimmy. Jimmy's square. Jimmy knows Stanley, and Stanley's pretty good at this theology. But Stanley's got a buddy named Larry who follows Benny Hinn. So that means Jimmy and I are parting company. That's too many degrees of separation. I think it needs to be tighter than that as a rule. I think it needs to be closer. I think Jimmy could be a friend with somebody and even affirm somebody who is maybe getting some bad teaching. It doesn't mean that Jimmy is adopting that teaching. Now, if Jimmy's affirming that bad teaching, well, but that's not a degree of separation. Then that is separation because he's adhering to it. So I think overall, it needs to be closer than further because we've seen it get ridiculous, haven't we? It's Kevin Bacon theology. He knows somebody who talked to somebody who once went to a conference and drove by a false teacher. And therefore, I'm ending my relationship with everybody. Nah, nope, don't do that. So Phil Johnson, if you watch it, and keep praying for Phil, by the way, he's in the thick of it with his health. It is a hard season right now for Phil, so please be praying for him. It was clear, and he admitted it. It's like, these things are tricky. There's nuances to them. And oftentimes, there's information we don't know, and we make a decision on separation before we maybe know the full story because we're so separated from it. But the other time that we did this was with Justin Peters. Now, is Jimmy... Mm-hmm. Would you go to fortisinstitute.org, fortisinstitute.org? And would you, I don't think that we've put Justin, I think we gave away Justin Peters for Christmas, but I don't think that we've offered it on the website, have we? You take a look because Justin Peters and I did 10, 12, something like that, lectures. The resource is called Thou Shall Judge. And he got the subject because I gave it to him. On degrees of separation, because I didn't want to take it. And so he tackled it. And I remember he said, all right, welcome to lecture 7 of Thou Shalt Judge. We're going to deal with degrees of separation. And I let out a cackle. And I just reflexively said, good luck with that. Because it can be really, really messy. It's not easy. And do we have it in the store yet?
It's available now for purchase in the
store. Oh, you can?
Yes.
Maybe we should let people know that.
Shows just what you know.
Just a thought that it's there. It's really great stuff. Justin, you know, he's awesome. And it's really helpful when it comes to the issue of discernment. We wanted to help with that and to provide some sort of a framework so we just aren't the wild, wild west in circular firing squads, indiscriminately shooting with one another, dividing with one another. We got too much division going on in small Orthodox circles. Too much division. There is a time for it, but it should be the exception. These days, it is the rule. So if you're in, so to answer your question and completely avoid answering it, get yourself Thou Shalt Judge at fortisinstitute.org. Whew. You know what? Hey, I've got an idea.
Uh-huh.
Is that sound in my thingy here, the computer system? From Thou Shalt Judge. If I don't have it now, but to share some of that from Justin, we'll do that next week. But let's make a note. We'll do that next week, and we'll talk about degrees of separation, because I think most of the time, I think people are wise, but I see mostly the error. Is that we've got somebody in our lives and we just refuse to separate when we should, or we separate from people we shouldn't. Overall, I think most are doing pretty well, but the excesses on both sides of that are pretty deep too. We'll do that perhaps next week. Idea at wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
Alex is wondering, Todd, is free public education wrong?
Depends on what they're educating. It depends on what they're teaching. If you go to a school where reading, writing, and arithmetic, they're actually teaching history without some sort of CRT lens and filter, if there isn't a sexual agenda that is being foisted onto the kids, I think it's a liberty issue and parents would need to make that decision. Can't make a law where there is no law, but if it is a school that is just indoctrinating and just coming after your kids, whether it's not just the evolution now, it's like, oh, remember how charming it was when we only had to worry about evolution being taught to the kids? Now they're being taught that Billy can be Sally. Yikes. And I think every parent needs to make that decision for themselves. Can I say overall that public education is a sin? No. But I think we need to practice probably more discretion than we have been. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. 2,500 doctors from the Catholic Medical Association just challenged President Joe Biden's attempt to turn emergency rooms into abortion clinics. The Alliance Defending Freedom's lawsuit exposes how Biden's bureaucrats twisted a law protecting both mother and unborn child into a mandate for ending life. Now these physicians face a choice between their conscience and their careers. Parents Defending Education's latest survey confirms what Common Sense already knew. American parents don't want schools hiding gender transitions from families. A striking 80% oppose schools helping children change identity without parental knowledge. Turns out social engineering works better in faculty lounges than family rooms. Another illegal immigrant slipped across our open border and brought violence with them. Santo Omar Martinez Varela walked into Palm Beach undetected in 2023 and now faces charges of raping a 13-year-old girl. DNA evidence confirmed what border security might have prevented. AOL, an Austrian kindergarten, exposed the endgame of a sexual revolution, expelling two children whose parents objected to pornographic posters featuring nude adults alongside children. The CEO defended the materials as fostering diversity while writing that children are sexual beings from birth, echoing the same arguments used by revolutionary intellectuals a decade ago. The European Union managed to fine itself 400 euros for breaking its own privacy laws, a far cry from the billions it demands from tech companies. When a German citizen used Facebook login for a EU conference, bureaucrats discovered following their own rules is harder than making them. The Association of American Medical Colleges revealed its true priorities through Philip Alberti, who runs their Center for Health Justice. Rather than focus on actual medicine, Alberti dedicated his career to fighting cisgenderism and unpacking invisible knapsacks of white privilege. Maybe medical students should learn anatomy before checking privilege. The University of Michigan finally ended its partnership with a Chinese university after a congressman exposed how Communist China uses academic cooperation to advance their military goals. It only took five Chinese nationals getting caught at Camp Grayling to wake up university leadership. And speaking of universities, Columbia University professor Catherine Frank discovered that falsely accusing Israeli students of harassment has consequences. After claiming military veterans were attacking Palestinian students with skunk spray, an investigation revealed her discrimination. She chose retirement over accountability. Of course she did. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Acts is the second volume of the Gospel according to Luke. It begins with the ascension of Christ and covers the first 30 years of the early church. Acts is about the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the word as early Christians seek to spread the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, dear ones, welcome to the next installment of Thou Shalt Judge. This session deals with degrees of separation.
Good luck. I remember that pretty vividly. This is Wretched Radio. That is a new resource we have available at Fortis Institute called Thou Shalt Judge. Justin Peters and I spent a couple of days in studio with a studio audience working through rules of discernment. And I assigned him the subject of degrees of separation. Not going to play this whole thing. This particular lecture is 23 minutes long. So we can't, but you can find the whole shebang at fortisinstitute.org.
Sorry. Sorry. Todd didn't have enough courage to deal with this, so he dumped it on my face. So we'll see how this goes. So how do we think through issues of when it is appropriate to separate from someone because of some aberrant teaching that they have? What about partnerships? Well, I like this guy, but he was at this conference with this person who's a bad guy. You know, how do we deal with those issues?
That is so meaty and so good and so needed, isn't it? I want to listen to this whole shebang instead of listening to that talk show's yammer on about a mailbag.
This is complicated. This is going to be, and there will be some wiggle room, and there's some areas of conscience involved in this, but I want to maybe lay a few areas of groundwork that I think we could all agree upon. Number one, when dealing with degrees of separation, number one, understand that the Bible stresses unity.
What a good word. That surprised me. It shouldn't, but that when he brought that up as the first one, this is the guiding mindset. Our desire is not separation. Our desire is unity, which means we want to hope all things, trust all things. We want the best. We put the best construction on everything. So if you're thinking, oh, somebody went to this conference, but that guy was speaking who spoke at a conference with a guy who's definitely wonky. Oh, should I separate? I think the better question is, do I get to stay in fellowship? Because we want unity as opposed to division.
The Bible stresses unity. Unity amongst believers is the Bible's default position. John chapter 17, verse 11, Jesus' high priestly prayer. He says, "And I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves," referring to his disciples, "are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are." Then down a few verses 20 through 23, he continues, same context. "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word." Notice, by the way, Jesus assumes the success of their mission that he will give them. "For those who will believe in me," he assumes their success. "That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me." Over and over in this high priestly prayer, Jesus prays for the unity of his disciples. And note the high stakes that are involved. Jesus says that they may be unified, that they may be one, that the world may believe that you sent me, that the world may believe that you sent me. Dear friends, our love for each other as Christians should be so otherworldly. It should be so foreign to worldly philosophy, so out of place, so conspicuous to the world that it serves as a powerful and compelling testimony to the gospel itself. Our unity as believers should serve as a powerful testimony to the gospel, that the world may believe that you sent me. But we live in a fallen world, and sin makes complete unity impossible this side of heaven. We live in a fallen world. We have fallen, finite minds, and so perfect unity is impossible this side of heaven. So how do we deal with separation? How do we deal with differences, but relatively minor differences, as opposed to those from whom we must separate?
Get ready to hate me a lot. If you'd like to hear the rest of that presentation, you can get it at fortisinstitute.org. But that was enough. In fact, if we don't spend time chewing on that nugget that he just delivered and served up for us to consume, I think that we're going to keep seeing more unnecessary division. We all know that we mark those which cause division and avoid them. Remember, we're not dividing from them as much as they've already divided from us by going aberrant. But we need to understand that the default position, as Justin said, is unity. I want this person to be saved. I want to be in fellowship with this person. That is our desire. All right, fine. I'll play a second point.
Number one, we must separate from false teachers. We separate from false teachers. People who teach theological heresy. We separate from false prophets. In the last three or so years, it's been a spectacular faceplant for the prophets, right? I mean, they have been wrong, spectacularly wrong on literally everything. These major earth-shaking events that we've all seen in the last few years. None of the prophets prophesied COVID coming. None of them prophesied the riots that raged every single night in cities all around the country in the summer of 2020. None of them saw the war in Ukraine coming.
Wow, you get the point. Where are those prophecies? Instead, you get guys like Ken Copeland. It's going to be divine in 2029. It's going to be dirty in 2030. 2031, we're going to see the sun. What? What is that? How do you know if that's right? See, I told you, we had more sunny days than cloudy days. I was right about my prophet. Is that what you meant by that? Well, yes, because that's the way it worked out. Otherwise, I'd be a false teacher, which would mean we'd need to divide. If you'd like to hear the whole shebang, it's Justin Peters, a guy named Todd Frielius, Thou Shalt Judge, available at FortisInstitute.org. And while you're at your computer, you can send us an email, idea@wretched.org, or text away 877-282-2337.
All right, here's a text from Anonymous. Todd, is it disrespectful to let a Bible touch the floor? Nah. Or is that an unnecessary thing humans have added? My wife had a problem with me putting a Bible on the floor while we were rearranging one of our rooms, but I didn't give it a second thought.
Okay, I think there's two lessons in this, two considerations. Can you make a law and say it's a sin to put the Bible on the floor? I can't. Why? Because I don't have a Bible verse that says that. Furthermore, while I want to be a Psalm 119 guy who loves the word, I recognize that those pages from trees and with ink, that's the mechanism that delivers God's word. And so I love God's word because of the one that it reveals to me. So I love my Bible, not just because I love my Bible, although I have to confess I do love my Bible. I love the one who's on every page of that Bible. So I don't want to elevate it to the status of idolatry and say that somehow I'm sinning by putting a Bible on the floor. Having said that, I do believe if you can avoid it, you shouldn't. Because maybe it's cultural, maybe it's just human. It's sort of like in the Middle East, you throw a sandal at somebody or you sit, better yet, you sit down and you cross your leg and you show the bottom of your foot toward them. I believe that's like a sign of disrespect. And that's their culture. But I think their culture, our culture, putting something on the floor is the low position. That's what happens when you abase yourself. You get down on the ground. You go underneath somebody. So putting the Bible down on the ground, I think it signifies it's just not that important. So I advise against it. Second thought: if it bugs your wife, don't do it. Simple as that. If I have a liberty, and I guess you'd have to say putting your Bible on the floor is a liberty. I don't like saying that because I don't think it's a great idea, but nevertheless, it's a liberty. If somebody does not like me partaking of that liberty, I give it up. Then put it on a table, put it somewhere else, but take the extra steps, put it someplace else if it bugs your spouse and give in. That's the attitude of Paul. You got a problem with meat sacrificed to idols? I ain't eating it. I don't care. It's only meat. I care more about you than I do about my own liberty, which, by the way, that is another subject that is so complex and so challenging. And because the weaker brother and the stumbling issues, it can get very easily confused. And the weaker brother can say that they're the stronger brother, even though they're the weaker brother. So how do you know who is right? You got to run to the Bible and study it. Both parties need to be willing to go, I let you win. Your way. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block to you. Jimmy, I think I've got a challenge for myself.
Okay.
Because I have a confession. I do feel there's something about putting a Bible on the ground. I just kind of like, I remember the Jewish people, at least historically, you know, kissing the Bible and, you know, holding it up like it's, you know, like it's divine itself, as opposed to just containing divine writ. You know, putting it up and shining lights on it and all of that. Okay, not that, but on the ground, I just, So I think I'm going to try to find a Bible that says it is a sin. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Just over a century ago, the lost generation emerged from the fog of World War I. Today, we face a new crisis. Young men of Gen Z, that's ages 12 to 29, are caught in the crossfire of a cultural war. Introducing Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, a new production from Fortis Institute. And this is not just another self-help program. No, no, no. It is a spiritual cure from a spiritual problem. Way of Manhood is available now on the Fortis Plus app. You can get there by visiting fortisinstitute.org. And while you're at fortisinstitute.org, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And together we can guide a generation back to the right path. Just visit fortisinstitute.org/donate and learn more about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. fortisinstitute.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in, but those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are the degrees of separation?
Don't play the 7 degree of Kevin Bacon. I've heard that phrase. I don't even know what people are talking about. But don't play that just because a good guy was at a place where a bad guy or some, you know, they know someone who knows someone who knows someone who's a bad guy. Yeah, don't play that game.
All right, okay, then let's okay, so not 7 degrees.
Okay.
4?
That's still too many.
3?
Still too many.
You're gritting your teeth, though. Eyes. Justin Peters, Todd Frielius, Thou Shalt Judge. We'll play more of this next week because it's so helpful, the degrees of separation. And it was really fun to interact with Justin, to work through different scenarios. When do we separate with somebody because they have an association with somebody who's wonky? There are rules, and we tried to lay them down as best we could. And Thou Shalt Judge, it's a resource available at fortisinstitute.org. In the meantime, you're up. So send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org. Text away, 877-282-2337.
Found one.
Found one what?
About the Bible touching the floor.
Oh, you got it.
Deuteronomy 6.
Let's hear it.
God commands his people to keep his word close to their hearts and constantly before them.
So it can't go lower than my heart.
That's right.
Okay, here's problem number one. Heart doesn't mean this beating thing on the left side of my chest. Yes. Oh, speaking of my heart on the left side of my chest, we have some folks at church. The dear couple, I think it was on Tuesday, we got a text that he was in the hospital with heart issues and he had to have 3 stents put in. Sunday, I'm sitting there talking to a young couple. He just proposed and they're all just dreamy and googly and they're in that phase and it's so fun to watch it. And I saw him. He was in church. He had 3 stents put into his heart on like Tuesday or Wednesday. And he's up, ambulatory, and attending church, even though it was cold. Do you know what Sunday was in the South? It was a gleaning Sunday. We discovered who the real Christians are. That's what we did. It was cold. And there could have been some ice on the road. So churches, in an abundance of safety, were closing down. Well, in abundance of reverence, we worshiped. And so we got together and it was obvious we're the real Christians and people who went to churches that closed down aren't. That's in the Bible too. You just look it up. You just look, the heart, the other, Deuteronomy 6, the heart, that's the totality of you. It's not the bum, 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 bum. Speaking of Deuteronomy, Jimmy, what is it Deuteronomy? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, I will heal their land.
No, that's Chronicles.
Yeah. I just heard our former vice president use that somehow in regard to January 6th. That verse isn't for us. Now, that doesn't mean we can't learn something about God and even about ourselves from a verse, because you can. But that verse, that doesn't apply to us. And even if it did apply to us, consider the limitations. If my people, all right, so who are God's people? Americans? No. In the Old Testament, Jewish people. In the New Testament, anybody who is born again and believes in Jesus Christ. Those are his people. That's a problem of invoking those verses. Furthermore, the result of calling on him is that he will heal the land. We're talking about drought. We're talking about crops. We're talking about being able to survive with food. That is the promise of that prayer. We can learn much, but that's not a promise for America. 877-282-2... But nice try, Jimmy. That was pretty good. 877... I've heard worse.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard worse. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ron. I texted in, Todd, Mr. Friel, is it biblical?
Now, which is it?
Todd, Mr. Friel?
It's one or the other. And the former is wrong.
Mr. Friel.
That's better.
Is it biblical or even okay to wish our deceased loved ones a happy heavenly birthday?
That would be speaking to someone. They can't hear you. Hmm. You know what? You can sit with your thoughts and think about them and even miss them. There's nothing wrong with that. But they can't hear you in heaven. In fact, let me put it stronger. They don't want to hear you in heaven because they're listening to the best thing there is. There's nothing better. For them to return to the planet and experience anything earthly would be like, oh, this ain't nearly as good. They're so happy. They're complete. They're full. They are enjoying heaven to their maximum ability. You say, why didn't you just say to the max? Because everybody's maximum ability is different. There are degrees of enjoyment in heaven. Don't you worry. You will enjoy heaven as much as you possibly can. But the reality is some people are going to enjoy it more, some less so. Why? This is why the Puritans talked about dying well and living a life that allows you to approach your last breath going, it is well with my soul. I've run the race and I can't wait to get to the finish line. Cross it because my death day is the best day because that's glorification day. And I get to be with my Savior. And people who are more longing will be more satisfied. If you're not as excited about being with your Savior, well, you're going to be as satisfied as you're longing. So the desire of the Christian heart makes a difference in eternity. And that is why we want to focus on him. Because you can't just invoke this. All right, all right. I've got a bigger longing. I desire to be in heaven. Okay, I like Jesus more. No, that's not the way it works. You stare at him with unveiled face, and you will grow in your love for him and your longing for him. And the bigger that becomes, the more joy you're going to have in heaven. And I will say it again. Don't panic if you're thinking, well, that doesn't sound right, because other people are going to have more joy. I think a parable would correct that. Remember the landowner who gave the same wage to different people, and they were grumbling about, why do they get that? And I should be getting more for what I get. We shouldn't be doing that. And we won't be doing that in heaven, which is why your relative, and when I said they don't want to hear from you, it's not like they dislike you. All I meant by that was, oh, they've just got better things going on. I think I heard a preacher say, well, I'm trying to recall who it was, but they said if your loved one that you're longing for and you're missing right now, if they could return to earth, they wouldn't, because they're in the best place possible. What a day that's going to be. Can you imagine? I mean, this is why Paul prayed that you would begin to grasp how big God's love is. For eternity, you're never going to feel dulled. You're never going to feel like, kind of been there, done that. Is there anything exciting and new? Yeah. Another level of understanding of God's love for you in Christ Jesus. It will never grow tiresome. You will just marvel more and more and more. You will love him more and more and more, because his love and his magnificence, it is infinite, so you can't get to the bottom of it. And that's another thought that should cause us to go, okay, I think I could start looking forward to that a little more than I currently do. 877-282-2337 is the text machine.
Okay. That you confused me. You threw me off.
Did I?
That's okay.
You are so Pavlovian.
I am.
If I don't do it the right way.
That's right.
Well, sometimes I think, though, it's kind of obvious what we're doing, don't you think?
Yeah, it is.
I remember years ago, I don't know why I thought this was so lame, but I was in studio. There was a couple that was being promoted on the Christian circuit, and they were a husband and wife. I think they were doing like marriage and family stuff, and he would talk. And then just as he was done, he'd point to her and she'd start talking. And then when she was done, she'd point to him. If you can't pick it up with cadence, you're probably not ready for prime time. So our little magic trick is I say the email or the text machine, and then you go.
That's right. You know how to see if I'm paying attention.
And you biffed it.
I did.
What must we do to help you?
Hey, I did want to say that the question we just had about heaven, and you talked about heaven, there is an outstanding book in the Fortis store that I would recommend.
What's it called, Jimmy?
It's called Heaven.
No.
By Randy Alcorn.
And it's available at Fortis Institute, where you can get Thou Shalt Judge.
That's exactly right. Thou Shalt Judge is another.
Oh, that's a wonderful resource. In fact, I recommended that book to somebody. Somebody had sent an email about not being excited about heaven, the eternality of it was like, that seems like a long time. I said, get Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. And like a week later, he was emailing, I can't wait. This is amazing what heaven is going to be like. You have no idea how glorious it's going to be and how familiar it's going to be, because there will be nothing less in heaven than there is on earth. You like sports? Why would God take that away from you? You like good food? Why would he take that away from you? There will be nothing less in heaven than there is on earth. And you have everything to look forward to. And you will, if you get heaven at FortisInstitute.org. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.